Ladies and gentlemen, the unclouded day is when we meet the Lord in heaven. Metaphorically, it is referring to that time when last dream is over, when we slough off this mortal coil and the wings of the Spirit, the pinion wings of the Spirit, once again are led into the presence of God. We appreciate very much your presence. One of the encouraging things we receive here at West Boonville would be the calls from people who do not attend here, but who either read our articles in the paper or hear our television program. This morning I received a call from a lady in Ripley, Mississippi, and she wanted several copies of our DVDs because she was watching our television program. That's an encouragement to all of us. Last week, I received a call from a man in Wheeler, and he told me that he just read the article, and he agreed that one could fall from grace. The article dealt with falling from grace. He said, however, I attend a church which doesn't believe that. They don't believe you can fall from grace, but he said, I believe that you can. I told him that I believed that he was following the Bible, and we had quite a lengthy conversation. I said all of that to say this, that we do appreciate the comments we get from people on the outside who either see our television and program or read our newspaper articles. And we encourage, of course, you to do that also. In the last couple of weeks, I've been dealing upon the subject of falling from grace. And, well, actually being a backslider, which might be categorized as the same thing, about people who backslide. A backslider is someone who has come into the church. He's come into Christ. He has been saved. He has been regenerated. But some way he becomes cold and indifferent, and he quits going to church. And he possibly quits praying, probably does, and he is what we commonly call out of duty. But the backslider is not an atheist. He is not an apostate. He is a person, or she, I could say he or she, is a person who still has a warm place in their heart for the Lord and understands that they've got to return to the sheepfold or the church before they're saved and that they've got to repent of their sins. And some of them do. And we've been talking about that. I told you that a reasonably large percent of people who are saved and who are regenerated backslide. They come for a while, become spasmodic in attendance, and for a while they just drift away. I told you a couple of weeks ago that if all of the backsliders returned to the church, that the buildings wouldn't hold them. And I still believe that's true. We have a lot of people who are out of duty. And I think they know they're out of duty. They know they need to repent and get right with God. You remember Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, he said, thy heart's not right with God. That's when he was in that backslidden state over in Acts the 8th chapter. We started out with the prodigal son in Luke 15, and I told you that the story of the prodigal son is more than a story of a boy who left home and spent his life in riotous living and then returned to his daddy and asked forgiveness. I told you that it depicted a backslider, one who has once named the name of Christ and has shared all those blessings in the church and in Christ and the fellowship of God's people, but he's become cold and indifferent, and he's left the church, and he needs to return. And the story of the prodigal son depicts that. Because that's exactly what happens when a backslider returns to the sheepfold or returns to his spiritual family. The church repents of his sins and is once again justified in the eyes of God. And I've seen a lot of people do that during my life. And I always rejoice when they return, as you do if you are a Christian. Last week, we talked about the second backslider, and that was Simon over in Acts 8. How that Simon himself believed and also was baptized. He came into the church. He came into Christ. He was sharing those blessings and continued with the apostles. But the devil got a hold of him and tempted him, I guess, through his weakness, which was pride and the desire for power. So when he saw the apostles come down and lay their hands on certain members of the church and impart gifts of the Spirit, he said, give me this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, they'll receive the Holy Ghost. In other words, he wanted to do what the apostles did. But Peter told him, says, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart's not right in the sight of God. Repent this, therefore, of this thy wickedness. And I emphasize the word this. He didn't tell him to repent of all of his sins, but of the very thing that he'd done. If he'd have never been saved in the first place, he'd have said, repent of all of your past sins. But that's not what Peter told him. He said, repent of this thy wickedness. This what? For trying to buy the gift of God with money. That shows he had been saved. He was a backslider, and he needed to repent. Now, obviously, according to the context, he did repent and asked the forgiveness of God and, I guess, the forgiveness of the brethren, and he evidently was restored, and that's good. That's good. But he does represent a backslider. Now, today, I want to talk about another backslider. I'm just kind of going through the Bible, and this may shock you, but our backslider today is Simon Peter, the very man that told this man what to do. Someone said, you mean he became a backslider? Oh, yes. Yes, he did. And it can happen to anyone. It can happen to you. It happened to me. It can happen to anyone. You're sitting in the pew today, and maybe you think, well, I'm not ever going to be a backslider, and I hope not. But I want to tell you that it can happen to anybody. If it happened to Peter, it can happen to anybody. You know, when you study the life of Peter, if you even go back before he was in the church, even during the personal ministry of Jesus, he told the Lord, he says, though all men deny thee, I will not. And the Lord said, yeah, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice. Peter didn't think he'd backslide back there, but he did. He denied the Lord three times, but he was restored. He went out and wept bitterly because of his transgression. Now, Peter later is in the church. He's a member of the body of Christ and is saving a lot of souls. And he is preaching the gospel. And he decides to go down to the church at Antioch, which was the first Gentile church. Now, this is where we want to take up our lesson, and I want to show you what he did. I want to show you what his weakness was. We'll discuss that. He had a weakness. And a weakness was that he succumbed to peer pressure. And I hope you know what peer pressure is. We'll talk about that a little later. And that's what happens to a lot of folks. Now, when Simon backslid, his weakness was wanting power. Not necessarily money, but power. He liked power. And that causes some people in the church to backslide. They like authority. They like power. And it might be money. Or it might be peer pressure. That's the reason I'm taking you to the Bible to give you proof of this. This is not something I've made up. All of these examples, ladies and gentlemen, are in this book known as the Word of God. Now, in order to study about Peter, we have to go back to the church at Antioch, and I'd like to begin reading here in Acts the 11th chapter to tell you about how that church came into existence, and then we'll tie this in with Galatians 2, which was read in your hearing by Mike a while ago, and that will give us the case of Simon Peter, who was the backslider. Let's begin with verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, this is in Acts 11. Here they have come down to the city of Antioch of Syria, which was the first Gentile church. And a number of them did what? They believed and turned to the Lord. Someone says, preacher, I thought when you believed, you'd already turned to the Lord. No, that's not quite true. Someone says, well, they told me I saved by faith only. Well, they told you something that's not so. The Bible says they believed and turned. Now, the believing is separated from the turning. You turn to the Lord when you repent and are baptized, not when you believe. Now, even though belief is absolutely indispensable with salvation, you don't turn to the Lord when you believe. You turn to the Lord when you repent and are baptized. That's the turning process. Notice what it says. They believed and turned to the Lord. Let's take it just like it says it. That's what the book says. And believing wasn't the turning. It was something different. Okay. And you can't be saved without turning to the Lord, by the way. Okay? Now, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, when the Bible says this came to the ears of the church, that means the church is used in a distributive sense. The ears of the church means the members of the church. It came to them. The word ecclesia, which means church, is used in different senses in the Bible. And when it says the ears of the church, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that it came to the ears of the members of the church. They heard this. That's all that means. Therefore, the word church is used in what we call a distributive sense, not in a collective sense. Sometimes it's used in a collective sense, if you follow the Bible. Okay? Now, who, when they came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with one purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Now, here they come down and establish the church at Antioch. Barnabas does. And this is the way a church starts, is by people believing and turning to the Lord. And thus the church at Antioch, the first Gentile church, it did have some Jews in it, but it was basically made up of Gentiles. And that was unusual for those days, as we're going to find out. And it says here, for he was a good man. Who? Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man. Have you ever thought who a good man is? Well, that's an interesting question. I believe it's someone who serves the Lord. Not a perfect man, but a good man. And I'm going to show you that Barnabas wasn't perfect in a few moments. But he was a good man. He was a good man, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. I preached a sermon not long ago on being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I went through the Bible and showed you that this is used many times about people being filled with the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't mean they could all do the same thing. It just simply meant that the Holy Spirit guided them in that area. I don't have time to preach that sermon over right now, but I did, and I referred to a number of passages. But even Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, we're to be filled with the Spirit when we sing, according to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. We're to be filled with the Spirit when we sing. The Bible teaches that, by the way. And then we're to sing praises to God. Okay. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Where? At Antioch. This is where this problem's going to take place. It's where Peter falls from grace, the church at Antioch. That's right. Okay. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. So Barnabas goes to get Paul. They come down and spend a whole year working with the church there at Antioch, converting people, and no doubt edifying the church. Notice to assemble with the church, because we're supposed to assemble. We're not supposed to miss church, the assembly of the church. We're supposed to do that. And that's what they did. Now, sometime later, after this church was established, Brother Peter decides to go down and visit this church at Antioch, which is a Gentile church. And when he arrives down, and I'm now going to be referring to Galatians, the second chapter, in just a moment. We're going to be reading some things that took place. Here in verse 11, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now, this is Paul writing to the Galatians. Now, we have Peter as a Jew coming down to a Gentile church in Antioch and paying a little visit. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I've visited a lot of churches in my life. Preachers visit churches. They go down and visit and work with them. And that's all you have here. The church has already been established. Barnabas established the church, basically. Barnabas and Paul. But now Peter comes down, and he's a Jew. And Gentiles haven't been in the church very long. It was about 10 years after Pentecost that the first Gentile was converted. And the Jews were a little reluctant to accept the Gentiles, but gradually they did. But at first they didn't want to. But gradually they did. Matter of fact, Peter made the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, in Acts 10. He converted him. You can read about it in Acts, the 10th chapter. But now he's visiting the church at Antioch. What does it say? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. Uh-oh, Peter has slipped. Once again, he has slipped. He has actually backslid. That's what's happened to him. Well, someone says, what was all this about? Well, let me tell you what it's about. Peter was a Jew, and he'd come down here to this Gentile church. And it seems that he was just as happy as he could be. He was associating with them. On Sunday, he'd break bread with them. He'd eat the Lord's Supper with them. But not only that, he was socializing with them. He'd go home, and if a woman had fried chicken, he'd sit down at the table. He ate with them and enjoyed the chicken dinner. And enjoyed whatever the Gentile woman prepared. He's just having a big time. And that's fine. That's the way it ought to be. You know, we're one in Christ Jesus. And we need to socialize together because no one person is better than another in the church. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. And Peter at first recognized that. And so when he came down there, he was just having a big time associating with the Gentiles, but something happened. What happened? Well, James and certain ones from Jerusalem who had some misgivings about associating with Gentiles socially, they didn't much believe in that. They decided also to come down. And when they came down, what did Peter do? He withdrew himself and acted as though he didn't have any association with the Gentiles, which was hypocritical. And when you're a hypocrite, you have backslid. There's no doubt about that. Peter the backslider. Of all people. He's the one that straightened Simon the sorcerer out and told him to repent because he had backslid. And now he's a victim of the same thing. I'm talking about backsliders in the church. I announced it 3 weeks ago. And we're just taking him up, and I'm showing you that Peter himself was a backslider. Well, you know what he did was hypocritical. It sure was. That's bad. He shouldn't have done that. You know, if you put up one front before certain brethren and then you go over here and do something else before others, you're playing the part of a hypocrite. You need to be consistent in what you do. And it's hypocritical to act that way. The Bible says it. That's what the word dissimulation means. It means hypocrisy. Well, let's read on. We're reading from the Bible, aren't we? We're having a good time. Now, I want to read what else it says. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation or the hypocrisy. Oh, sometimes backsliders do harm in the church. Sometimes they do more harm than at other times. Peter is causing a great trouble in the church at Antioch. He's almost splitting it. He's almost splitting the church. And he's to blame. But what? Well, he's acting like a hypocrite. That's what he did. You see, there were some Jews, and when they saw what he did, before that, they were also associating with the Gentiles. But when Peter, as a great example, as a preacher, disassembled himself and started acting like a hypocrite, some of the Jews followed him, and they also became hypocritical. Someone says, well, that backslider had a bad influence on a lot of members of the church, didn't he? He's doing harm, isn't he, preacher? He sure is, bless your life. A hypocrite can do a lot of harm in the church. A backslider can do a lot of harm in the church. It can cause other people to go astray. That's right. And that signifies a danger in the church. And notice what it says. It says the Jews also disassembled themselves. The Jews who? The Christian Jews. And even Barnabas. Barnabas, the man that started the church. He began to disassociate himself with the Gentiles because of the influence of Brother Peter. Another preacher was influenced in the wrong way. Are you listening? Read the text. You see how much harm a hypocrite can do? A backslider can do? I'm reading it out of the Bible, neighbor. He almost tore up the church in Antioch over his hypocrisy. That's why there's a danger in becoming a backslider. Now, there's different ways you can backslide, as I pointed out. And I'm just talking about Peter. That's what Peter did. And it says, Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Evidently, he joined in with Peter, the very man that started the church. Someone says, well, that church is about to split, isn't it? Yes, and Peter's the cause of it too, bless your life. He's the culprit. He's the one that's causing trouble. Paul wasn't causing it. Paul wasn't causing trouble. Paul wasn't hypocritical. Peter was. Well, Brother Paul, what are you going to do? You going to also be carried away and join in with him? He said, no, sir. He said, I'll not do that. He said, I withstood him to the face before them all. Well, Paul, why didn't you take him to the side? Well, because the whole church needed to hear this. So I did it before the whole assembly. And I withstood him. Well, didn't you do it, though, to his back? Wasn't Peter gone at the time? Wasn't he gone? And didn't you do that, stab him in the back? He said, no, he was there. I did it to his face. And if you got anything to say, you need to say it to a man's face, not stab him in the back. Paul sets a wonderful example here. He said, what I did, I went down to Antioch when that church was about to divide, and Peter was in the audience, and I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And this is what I said to him. He said, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Now that's laying it on the line. Which meant that Peter was a hypocrite. He was a backslider. Someone says, well, do we have any record of him repenting? Well, not directly, but indirectly we do. Indirectly we do. I believe that Peter took the same advice he gave to Simon when he told him to repent and pray. I believe he took the advice of Paul and he did the same thing. He straightened up and the church was not divided. He stopped that foolishness of withdrawing himself and not socializing with the Gentiles. I'll tell you why. Over in 2 Peter 3, verse 13, when Peter wrote of Paul, he spoke of him as a beloved brother Paul. He didn't hold any animosity against him. Now you see, if Peter hadn't had the right attitude and hadn't straightened up, he wouldn't have spoken of Paul as a beloved brother and about the epistles which he had written. If Peter had been stubborn and rebellious and self-centered, he said, I didn't appreciate what Brother Paul did to me in the presence of the church down there, accusing me of being a hypocrite, and I'm going to hold it against him as long as I live. He's not my beloved brother. Peter knew he was wrong. Just as when the Lord told him he would deny him three times, and after he did, he went out and wept bitterly. That was evidence that Peter knew he was wrong in denying the Lord. And he confessed that he was wrong in denying the Lord. And that's what made Peter a great man. Not because of his sins, but because of the fact that he'd make them right. He stands as a stalwart in the church today, starting the church on the day of Pentecost and preaching to the first Gentile convert and writing his apostolic epistles. I'm not downing Peter. I'm upholding him for what he did. Not in his sins. Not because he became a backslider. Not because he denied the Lord. But because he would correct it. And he did correct it. And the Lord forgave him, and so should we. So should we. But it tells me one thing. That anyone can backslide. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Overconfidence probably was the sin of Simon Peter. He had too much confidence. You can be overconfident. You should say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, by his grace. And so Simon Peter succumbed under temptation. Someone says, what was his weakness, preacher? I told you we'd talk about it. Peer pressure. Peer pressure means that there's someone that you hold in esteem that may be greater than you are in their position, and they have a tremendous influence on you. You see, when James and certain brethren from Jerusalem came down, that's when this happened. He looked upon them sort of as his peers or as his equal. And therefore, he wanted to leave the impression with them that he did not associate with the Gentiles, which was hypocritical. So he yielded to peer pressure. That was his weakness on this occasion. And to some extent, that was Peter's weakness when the damsel came out during the personal ministry of the Lord, when Peter was warming by the devil's fire, as we say. You remember they were crucifying Jesus. It was just before his crucifixion. And it was cold, evidently the winter time, and they built a fire. And Peter was out there warming by that fire. And there was people around that fire. And there was a damsel, a young girl over there. And she looked over at Peter on the other side of the fire, and she said, "Aren't you a follower of this man we're crucifying? Aren't you a follower of him?" He said, "No." He said, "I don't know him." Said he didn't know the Lord, of all things. You know, isn't that strange? That's Peter. And she did this more than once, and he denied him three times. He said, "No, I don't know him." He says, I don't know the man you're crucifying." And the Lord had just told him he'd deny him three times before the cock had crowed twice. He yielded to peer pressure, the pressure of the Jews. Peter didn't backslide over money. And he didn't necessarily deny the Lord over power like Simon did in Acts 8. He was a backslider because of peer pressure. You know, peer pressure begins with our children down in school. It's around us all the time. We have those people maybe we look up to some degree. You know, when you go to school, and I remember this because I can speak from personal experience, and I don't think I'm any different from any other boy or girl. When you go to school, there are certain boys maybe that you look up to. It might be because they're strong. It might be because they're good in sports. Or it might be because they have a great deal of intellectual powers. But it doesn't make any difference. It might be because, some boys look up to a boy when he's a bully. He can whip everybody. And the other boys, they look up to him. He's a bully. He's strong. And they consider him a peer. And a lot of times, their demise and their going way below is because of the pressure of these that they look up to. That's why we call it peer pressure. You can't deny that. If you told me that you didn't have any peers, I wouldn't believe you. We all do, even when we get adults, even in the church, and even later. And this was the weakness of Peter. And you know, we have associates out here in the world, and maybe we look upon them. They might be good athletes. They might be politicians. They might be senators or congressmen. And if we're not careful, we could play the part of a hypocrite in their presence and even deny the Lord and act like we're not a Christian if they're not a Christian. See? We might be ashamed of our Christianity. We have to watch it. We have to watch it at all times. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about backsliders, and I'm going to close the lesson by saying, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It can happen to anyone. We need to study and pray diligently that we don't succumb unto any weakness that we may have, that we may continue to serve the Lord and not become a backslider. But if you are a backslider, will you not return and repent as Peter did and as Simon did and stand justified in sight of God? But if you're not a Christian, I hope you'll come and obey the gospel. You're baptized into Christ, which you need to do. If you're here in subject, we invite you to come. Shall we stand as we sing?